Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
Bibles turn to Matthew chapter 7. We are going to be starting a new series. This one's probably going to be 6, maybe 7 weeks long. We're going to be talking about giving. And I'm excited about this because I love to talk about giving. We're going to get into a little bit more of the difference between giving, talking about giving, and talking about money. We're going to talk about giving because it involves a whole lot more than just funds and our resources. And I'm excited because it has been a while since we've talked about this kind of thing. Back in the fall, I think I had a message or two that we talked about, you know, ending the year strong and whatnot. But I think every church, every couple of years, every 2 to 3 years, ought to take some time and talk about tithes, talk about offerings, talk about giving of our resources, giving of our energy, giving of our lives to the kingdom. And so we're going to be doing that over the next couple of weeks. And I realize that next Sunday is Mother's Day. And so we're kind of starting the series today. Next week, we're going to step out of the series and talk about moms. And then we'll step back into the series, okay? So bring your mom next week. I'm not going to preach to her about tithing. Why you say yay? Man, Bob, it kind of hurts my feeling. I only have one, and you heard it. And so that's kind of what the plan is going to be. Now, we know that Scripture teaches us to give. Scripture talks about our giving, and it's something that we need to be a part of. And I've said it for years that we give to honor God. That's the foundation, and that has to be the premise. And I know that in the world that we live in, there's a lot of theology out there that talks about giving to get. That if you give, that God's going to give back to you. And I've seen theology, and I've seen the word that they've used to kind of promote that type of theology. And I'm not here necessarily to combat that, because I think Scripture says, you argue with a fool, you both look like fools. But I'm here to talk about what Scripture says about giving, and I'm going to let God's word show us and teach us what it's all about. So first thing I want to say is this: we give to give, not give to get. Can you look at your neighbor and say that? Can you say, we give to give, not give to get? Because it's important that we understand that, because the foundation of why we give, I think, is so incredibly critical to the giving itself. God wants us to give with a cheerful heart. God wants us to give out of love in our heart, not out of guilt or shame or, well, everybody else in my row got up and went up and put something in the bucket, so I just had to. Listen, God will cash a check, but I don't think you get credit for that. That's not what God calls us. That's not what God desires us to do. And so the heart of why I do is sometimes even more important than the amount that I do. And the amazing thing about giving, and we have said this for years, is that money is always a test when it comes to the things of God. So in this truth that we're going to give you in this series, I believe that it will change your life. If you listen, if you apply, if you walk this out, I think the truth we're going to give you is going to change your life. I think this truth can change your marriage. I think this truth can change your relationships. I think it can change your family, your health. It will change your life in a way that we can be and we can live blessed by God. And I want to be clear that I'm not talking about having fat wallets. I'm not talking about having, I know some of you are disappointed. I'm not talking about having a bigger purse full of more stuff. That's not what we're saying, but we're talking about living a life that God can bless, because our hearts are in alignment with His word, and so are our treasures. Okay, y'all with me? Beautiful. So here's the thing. We're going to take probably 6 or 7 weeks, and we're going to walk through this. Again, we're going to take a break next week for moms, and then we're going to get back to the series, and I know that you're going to be blessed with me. So what I'm asking you to do is this: stick with me for the series. Don't just come to the first week and go, oh, he said 6 weeks, we'll go back to church on the 7th. Stick with me in this, because this is not just about our financing. This is about our lives, okay? Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2 says this: judge not that you be not judged.
For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So let me start off this morning asking you a pretty simple question, and this is an easy one, so everybody can get this. Is the word money anywhere in that portion of Scripture? No. It is not. The context is don't judge, or you'll be judged back. Now, I want us to commit to short-term memory the first and the last portions of the Scripture that I just read you. And so I want you to repeat after me, judge not. And you will not be judged. With the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. Now flip over to Luke chapter 6 if you have a Bible, or click over if you have a clicker. You have our app. Our app has a Bible thing in it. Y'all got to check out our app. It's very cool. Yes, I like it. Luke chapter 6, verses 37 to 38, this is kind of a parallel passage. And he says this, judge not and you will not be judged. He says that. And then he drops down to verse 38. I'm going to read the last little bit of verse 38. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So this is a parallel passage of Scripture in the Word. But what I want to read you is the Scripture between the beginning and the end, because often I think the context of that is taken wrong and applied wrong. And I think we walk in something that we think is truth that is not true. And how many of you know something that's not true is not what sets you free? It is truth that sets you free. So here is that whole portion of Scripture. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, again, I want to make a statement that may shock some of you, but it's a very easy question. Does the word money appear in that Scripture at all? It does not. And yet, most of the time when we hear messages or sermons or people are talking about Luke 6, 8, how many times has it been quoted that we use it in the context of money? In fact, most of the time when we hear that word, we even think of money. Earlier I said this, that we're going to have a series on giving, but the truth of the matter is, I probably talk about giving every single week. Because I don't think you can talk about the Word of God, I don't think you can talk about God Himself without talking about giving. Giving our lives, giving our time, using our gifting. Every once in a while I'll preach on giving money, but I can't stop preaching on giving because God so loved the world that He... Listen, giving's a big deal when it comes to the house of God and the family of God. And the sooner that we embrace it, the sooner we understand about it. Listen, you want a better marriage? We can't talk about marriage without talking about giving. Giving applies to every area of our life. Giving is all about the heart. It is all about the heart. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I know sometimes when you begin to speak about giving and people get this idea that, oh, all the church is after is your money. And I want to be clear. God is after your money because God is after your heart. And most of the time, for most of the people, our heart is connected to our wallets. Have you ever given so much it hurt? You ever went to have something simple fixed on your car and $800 later? Wasn't it painful? You know why? Because our hearts are connected to our wallets. And God knows this. And we try to convince ourselves that it's not, and it's not true. But the reality is, it is truer than we think. And God knows, if I can get your wallet, then I can get your heart. Because for most people, that's where your treasure is. And the thing that I am not the one who said this, that's the thing, is Jesus said this. So before you start thinking, I'm going to catch him in the parking lot, you've got to take this up with God. And let me kind of prove my point. Your heart follows your treasure. If you put money in a stock And then you start going online and checking that stock when before you never did because you didn't care because your treasure wasn't in it. Right? We look, we follow. And you want your heart in the kingdom of God. You want your treasure in the kingdom of God. And we have to understand, long before it's a money issue, it is always a heart issue. And money is always the issue of the heart. Because he's talking in these verses that we've been reading, he's talking about judgment. He's talking about condemnation. He's talking about forgiveness. Don't judge or you'll be judged. Don't condemn or you'll be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And then he says, give. But what's he saying here? And he's saying this, if you give judgment, you're going to get judgment back. If you're someone who condemns, who's always got a negative word to say about everything, then that's what you're going to receive back in your life. And how many of you have ever heard a good message preached on good measure? He says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. The judgment, the condemnation, the forgiveness, that's the context of this verse. Now, the way that this portion of Scripture connects to giving is simply in this, that you can apply it to every area of your life because of the laws of sowing and reaping. When you sow a seed, you don't just get back that seed. You get back the tree or a plant that you plant that has grown from the seed you buried that will bear much. You plant a tomato seed, you're going to grow a tomato plant. And it doesn't just grow a seed, it grows tomatoes. You plant an acorn, you grow an oak tree. And it's not an oak tree with one acorn. It's an oak tree that has many acorns. It's the law of sowing and the law of reaping. You know, you don't just sow a seed to get back a seed because God has this idea of multiplication, which we're going to get into later in the series. So here's the thing. Would it be better to give more good things than bad? Because whatever I sow, I reap. So think about this. In your life, what would you like more of? Love? So love. Would you like more grace, more mercy? So grace. And so mercy. So forgiveness, or so judgment, or so condemnation, because what you sow, you will reap. It's an amazing thing. You go out anymore, and I'm a people watcher. I love watching people. I just think people are fascinating. And you ever been out at the store, and probably most of us have experienced something like this. You're out at the store, and you ever seen children talking to their parents in a way that is less than ideal? And there have been times that I have been out, and these kids are talking to their mom or talking to their dad, and it hurts me. I'm looking at them, and I'm thinking, if I had spoke to my mother the way you were talking to your mother, I would not be here today. I mean, it's the truth. And it's wild because you watch these kids sass the parents and you watch these kids back talk the parent. And then all of a sudden you see the parent turn around and go, shut up, I wish I never had you. And I go, whoop, there it is. Because you sow and you're going to reap. If you sow yelling, you're going to reap yelling. If you sow, you'll sow sassiness and disrespect and devaluing, those are the things that you're going to reap back into your life, because what you sow, you reap. And another thing that I'm learning about the seed is what determines the growth isn't necessarily the seed, because what we've sung about today and what you're going to hear today is truth, and it is God's truth. So let me tell you something. The seed is fine. What determines the growth is the quality of the soil. It's an amazing that one person can say, man, I don't know, I just didn't get anything. And yet that same seed is transforming someone else's life. What's the difference? The only difference is the soil. And so we have to be people who guard and watch the soil of our lives. What's the condition of your heart for the things of God? Because if good seed lands in good soil, it's going to bear much fruit. If it lands in soil that's hard or thorny, that seed isn't going to be able to fulfill what it was intended to do. And so it always comes back around to the heart. I'm giving you good seed today. And so let's pray for good soil today. So how do we develop a heart of generosity? That's a great question, because God, we want to honor you with our giving, not just of our finances, but the giving of our lives. Well, Deuteronomy 15, if you flip over there, Deuteronomy 15, 7 and 8, we're going to throw it up on the screen too if you want to follow along. It says this: if there is among you a poor man of your brethren within the gates in your land, which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart. I love that, your heart. It's always about the heart. Nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open up your hand to them. Again, opening up your heart wide to him, and willingly, again, a heart issue, lend him sufficiency for his need, whatever he needs. So there are four things that I think we can do to help us have a generous heart. One is this: we have to deal with a selfish heart. We have to deal with a selfish heart. Now, selfish is disguised by a lot of different things. We have to deal with a selfish heart. Deuteronomy 15, 9. He says, beware lest there be a wicked thought where? In your heart. Saying the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing. He cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes what? Sin among you. Selfishness is wickedness in God's eyes. When God's people are selfish, it is wickedness, and it can become sin among us. And what he's saying is this, is when your brother comes to you in need, you're to open your hand to them. You're to open your heart to them. And don't let this evil thought come into your mind that it's the year of Jubilee and the debt will be canceled. Now, God had established in the Old Testament an economic system that every 7 years, all debts were wiped away. Don't y'all think we love Scripture now. I think we should go back to that. I think that that would be fantastic for our nation. Just every 7 years, the slate is wiped clean. And how many would you vote for that? And that's why I'm throwing my hat in this year to the nomination for President of the United States of America. All right. So what the year of Jubilee was, this premise is that every 7 years, everything was wiped clean. And what God is saying is, listen, if your brother who's in need comes to you and he's saying, I need help, can you help me? And you have the means to help him. Don't let your mind, don't let your heart look at this need and say, if I give it to him, he won't pay me back by the time the year of Jubilee comes. And so I won't get this back. God says, that's selfish. That's selfish. God challenges that process of thought, and God says, don't do that. God calls selfishness wickedness, and God is telling the people of Israel, I want you to be generous like I am generous. Think about this. Why did God create giving? I mean, is there a light bill in heaven? We running low on gold for the streets of gold? Is that what's going on? I mean, are the cattle on 1,000 hills, are they all like running off or something? I mean, why did God create giving? And I want to give you the answer. God did not create giving for his sake. He created giving for your sake. Giving more. Listen to me. Giving more than any activity that a believer does works selfishness and greed out of our lives. Anything. So much teaching today on giving is about give to get. Give to get. Give God a dollar, he'll give you 10. Give God $10, he'll give you 100. You ever seen it? Oh, give God 100 and he'll give you 1,000. Praise Jesus. And honestly, that type of thinking and that type of theology, I think actually works selfishness and greed into your life, not out of your life. That's not true. That's not what God is talking about. And I wonder sometimes when what God thinks when someone is preaching, I give so I can get. I think God's going, hey, heaven, it's so excited. They're giving to get. See, we need to catch the revelation of giving. Now, folks, and predominantly ladies, there is an area that men will always be kind of selfish. And I'm trying to give you the truth, and I want to give you the truth. But listen, we don't like sharing our food.
And I'm just putting this out there. I mean, seriously, when we go through the drive-thru and we say, hey, do you want anything? And you say, I'll just have some of your fries. And we say, no, you won't. And not only that, anything that falls out in the bag, that's mine too. I'm just trying to save some marital conflict, relational conflict. It's happening. Last week I went home and I told you there's this Cajun place that opened up near my parents' house, and we go to it, and the owner's from Louisiana and the chef was from southern Mississippi, and I mean they had alligator tail and everything. It just had this amazing thing, and I had me a fried oyster po' boy. And man, it was awesome. And my mom says this, ooh, I've always wanted to try that. But then she ordered the fried catfish. And I thought, boy, is she going to be disappointed. Maybe next time, Mom. So we have to deal with a selfish heart, all right? We've got to deal. We have to embrace a selfish heart where I don't want to give or I won't give because I'm looking at what I want and what I may lose. It's about me, and it's never about me. It's about him. All right, number two, dealing with a grieving heart. You want to be generous, you have to deal with a grieving heart. Deuteronomy 15:10, you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved. What a unique word. When you give to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all what you put your hand to. See, if you learn how to give from the heart with the right heart, God will bless you in everything that you do because it's a heart issue. Selfishness attacks you before you give. Grief attacks you after you give. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Have you ever like given to something and then afterwards you get a nail in your tire, your car breaks down and you go, see, I'm serious. I shouldn't have given. If I hadn't given that, that was the money to fix this. Our heart grieves. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's saying there. You know, we're talking about money, and it just hit me. I did not get cash. I need to get cash. I got to take my family to lunch and after service. And I forgot to get cash. We got missionaries to take care of. And your mind's always thinking about money, isn't it? Oh, my Lord.
From me.
Look at this. I think I need to share my thoughts more often.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Do you know why Billy jumped up so quickly and gave this to me? Because I gave it to him before service. I did. And I said, hey, listen, there's a point in my service I'm going to talk about needing cash, and I want you to give this to me. And I said, now, Billy, I have a certain set of skills. And I will find you. Listen, do you know why he's not grieving having given me this? Because it wasn't his. Stick with me. It wasn't his. The reason we grieve after we give is because we think it's ours. See, God, hasn't God given us everything? I mean, no matter what we have, whether you feel you have a lot or a little or whatever, all is God, thank you. When God says, give, be faithful, we go, man, it hurts. Because we forgot that it's ours or it's his. See, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof is what Psalms 24 says. See, I don't grieve when I give back to God what is already God's. So we got to deal with a selfish heart. We've got to deal with the
A grieving heart. And we have to, number three, is develop a generous heart. Deuteronomy 15, 14. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, from your wine presses, from what the Lord has, love this, blessed you with, you shall give to him. God wants you to be generous. We are born in the flesh selfish. We are born again in the spirit generous. That's why we can do this. We have to renew our minds, because think about this. We all really want to be generous. How many times have you ever said, man, if money was no issue, I would do this and I would give to that and I would bless them. Steph and I, we've talked about these things. I said, you know what? I've never played the lottery, and if I ever won the lottery, it would be a miracle. But man, if I won the lottery, I'm telling you, I would do this and I would give to these families and I'd give to these people and I would give this thing. And for our birthdays, we would just go into the hospitals to the newborn wing, and every kid that was born on our birthday, we just want to give them 10 grand for a college education seed and all this stuff. And here they, well, if money was no issue. Well, here's my question. Why is money an issue? All we have to do is obey. That's all we have to do. We all want to be generous. And if you go back and read Luke 6, it talks about giving. He says, give to everyone who asks of you. If they take your tunic, give them your cloak, expecting nothing in return. And so what God is doing is he's dealing with the heart. And then amazing, you know, those of you who have young children, it's always a funny thing to teach your kids how to share. Because, you know, they have their little world, and these are their toys. And then you have a play date with someone, and your child's playing with this toy over here, and all of a sudden he looks over there, and that friend's picking up his other toy, and he sets that one down, and he wants this one. And he takes it, and it's like, ah. So the kid goes over here and picks up a different one when he puts that one down, and he walks over here, and he wants that one. It's an amazing thing. You have to teach your child. They have to grow in the area of learning how to share. And that's what children do until they learn how to share. And maybe you kind of look and go, oh, they'll grow up. What if God looks at us and he says, when are you going to grow up? It can't be selfish. You can't grieve every time, because it's not really yours. You've got to have a generous heart and a generous spirit. When are you going to become like your father, who so loved the world that he gave? I read a story of a family that had gone to church one morning. They came out after service, and the little girl was with them, and she got in the car, and she was talking to her mom. Said, Mom, we heard a story in children's church, and it was about a woman who just had two pennies. And she came, and when she went to church, she gave those two pennies. And Mom, I wanna give something. So the mother said, oh, that's a beautiful story, sweetheart. You know, why don't you just pray and ask God what he wants you to give? And so she said, I could see in the rearview mirror, all of a sudden the little girl just kind of bowed her head, and she put her arms out like this, and she just sat there quietly for a moment, and all of a sudden she went, what? Little baby? She said, oh, Betty baby. I don't like her very much. You can have her. Listen, it's kind of funny. I thought that was funny. Apparently it wasn't funny as I thought. Remind me to run all my jokes by Ashton. Kind of cute, because the little child's learning how to give, and hey, God, what do you want me to give? And when she thirsts, let me explain it to you. And it's still not, I don't expect it. She thought God was asking something she really, really cared about. And he's like, oh, Betty, baby, I don't care about that. You can have that, God. Listen, what if we have to grow up? What if we need to ask God and close our eyes and open our arms and say, God, what do you want me to give? And then listen to what he will say. And when he does and we respond, that's how we deal with our selfishness. It's how we deal with our grief. And it's how we develop a generous heart, by doing those things. Number four, develop a grateful heart. Deuteronomy 15, 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. You know what he's commanding us to do? Be generous. That's what God's saying. He's saying, guys, be generous. Be giving. Be loving. And he does so on the basis that everything that we have came from him. And sometimes you've got to remind yourself that there was a time that you were in bondage, but I redeemed you. There was a time that you were changed up. You've got to remember. You ever run into someone in your life today that's still living the way that you used 2 years ago? And you walk away from that moment and you go, thank you, God, that I'm not that way anymore. Thank you, God, that you led me out of that bondage. I was blinded. I was bound. I was a slave to the enemy. But you loved me so much that you gave, and you didn't leave me there, but you gave me an opportunity, and you gave me a moment to know you, and I've grown. And it wasn't overnight. I was a seed that was planted in soil that was hungry for something real and hungry for something true, and I've become and I've grown, not a better version of me, but I'm becoming more like you. Thank you, Jesus, for redeeming my life. When you look back, you see who you were and you say, I'm not perfect, but man, my life has changed. You see, we all were slaves. We all were bound. We had nothing, but God redeemed us. And when I remember that, it's easier to give. And it's easier to honor. And I pray that you never get over getting saved. When I was young, we used to have Sunday night services. And there was this one woman, Miss Fisher. I love Miss Fisher. She'd every Sunday evening, she'd come to me and she'd say, Wes Johnson, how are you doing? And I said, I'm doing okay, ma'am. She said, I pray for you. And I said, I'll take all the prayer I can get, Miss Fisher. And they would have testimony things. And every time, she would stand up. This woman's been saved 20, 30, 40 years. She'd stand up and say, I thank God I'm saved. The place would erupt. When I was young, I kind of thought, yeah, I got it. Every Sunday, we know you're saved. Congratulations. I tell you, the longer I live, more times in my life now, I find myself wanting to just stand up and shout, thank God, I am saved, and I am redeemed. I pray that it's never old hat, and I pray that it's never old anything in your life, but let it be fresh and let it be new, because when we remember we were slaves and he has redeemed us, we don't have to live selfishly. We don't have to live in a mindset of just focus on us, but we can be generous and we can be grateful. And it's the way that we were created in his image to be. We can change the world. And you can change your world. And your life can be blessed. Amen.